Today, we're taking a peek at the starting pitcher trading block, looking to take advantage of some of this season's luckiest and unluckiest hurlers in the league.
It's about that time.
Stoned on Sports.
What's going on, everybody? You are tuned in to the Stoned on Sports podcast. My name is Matt. Really happy to be here with you on this Tuesday evening. This handsome fella here next to me is Kyle. Kyle, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Excited to be here Tuesday. Been thinking about this show all weekend. Talking about some more, whether you're good or bad or unlucky, we'll dive into it a little bit, give you the information you need to make the right decision.
Sure. And I think before we get into that, we should define what we mean by lucky and unlucky. This is a very simple methodology. We looked at ERA and the difference between that and a pitcher's xFIP. Is this 100% foolproof? Absolutely not. But it is a good means to start a discussion. And speaking of which, why don't we get that discussion started?
Heck yeah. First guy, I kind of like him. I think he's somebody you should try and go after or pick up if he's available. Talking about Garrett Crochet with the Chicago White Sox. Got dual eligibility there as well, which is nice. 58% owned on Yahoo. His ERA is 4.63, as you can see on the screen there. xFIP 2.56. So what do we have there? A positive run differential of plus 2.07. So you just know that he's going to get better there. Member FIP is just focuses solely on what pitchers can control. Walks, strikeouts, home runs, hit by pitch, I suppose, too. In 9 games this year, he's 3-4 in 46 and 2/3 innings pitched. That 4.63 ERA, of course, and the 0.99 whip. You like to see that. Had a 3-start stretch in mid to late April where he gave up 17 earned runs total. However, in his last 3 starts, he's allowed just 3 earned runs total while lasting at least 5 innings in all. Last start was the 10th. Oh, geez, what day was that? Saturday?
Sure.
No, Friday? Anyway, Cleveland versus Cleveland. Went 6 innings, 5 hits, just one of those for extra bases. No runs allowed. Single game high career mark of 11 Ks. No walks. And that, like I said, was against the Guardians. That's a top 10 offense. They've scored just south of 200 runs, 178 RBIs, so a very good team. Strikeout rate is excellent for him. He's a strikeout pitcher. He's at 34% strikeout rate, top 3% in the league. And, he's just got electric stuff. He struck out 64 batters so far this year. It's tied third most in the majors. Walk rate, also very excellent, top 15% in the league in that mark. Dude throws gas, all right? Fastball velo is 96.7, good enough for top 8% in the league. And these expected stats are excellent. The expected ERA of 2.16, good for top 4 in the league. And that expected batting average, top 5%. Some great swing and miss to him as well. Chase and whiff rates he's top 25% in both of those as well. And really gets the great whiff rates on his slider and changeup. It's changeup. And is one of his best to put away pitches, both north of 35%. Like it. Doesn't get hit too hard either. Hard hit rates just above average, but exit velo barrels are both very good, both in the top 25%, and just does a superb job of limiting contact overall. Contact in the zone is 4% better than league average, and when he gets batters to chase there, the contact out of the zone is a very low 45.5%. That's a full 12% better than MLB average this year so far. And the ground ball rate is good. It's 42.9. That's just about average, just slightly below average, I suppose. But still doing a great job allowing weak contact. His weak percentage is 8%. That's almost 4% higher better than league average, I should say. And how does a young pitcher like him, I've mentioned it before, how do they strike out and walk so little? First pitch strike rate is really a big thing with me. 65.8 is almost 5% better than MLB average and a full 7% better than his career norms. Real quick, a warning about him, though. He's thrown just 85 1/3 innings since being drafted in 20. I think I talked about this once before, so you can't really expect more than 120 out of him this year. Missed all of 22 and some of 23 with Tommy John surgery. So some point down the line, they may start dialing back the workload. You'll see Chicago maybe skip a start on him or more. So just manage your expectations.
Yeah, he has been something special this season and really come out of nowhere. We talked about that difference between his ERA and his xFIP. His expected ERA is even better at just 2.17. An expected ERA, all it does is take xWOBA and scale it to ERA. You know, one of the big issues with him has been a lack of run support, and the defense behind him is absolutely atrocious. The White Sox are dead last in defensive runs saved at negative 27, and they're second to last in outs above average, and that's a measure of range. And really, you look at his numbers, he had three really bad starts in a row where he gave up 17 earned over just 11 and two-thirds innings. But in that time, he still had 19 strikeouts. He's throwing two-thirds of his pitches for strikes. We absolutely love that. And his K per nine at 12.34 is almost a full strikeout more than second place. He's leading the MLB by a healthy margin and a 29.4% strikeout versus walk is tied with Jack Flaherty for best in baseball. Dude has been on fire. He's still out there on waivers in some places because people get scared away by the high ERA. Don't be that dude.
Nope.
He's a hell of a lot better than that. So the next cat on our list is one of my favorite pitchers in all of baseball, and that is Pablo Lopez. Whoops, I hit the wrong button there.
You sure did.
Pablo Lopez of the Minnesota Twins. He has been fantastic this year, really. You look at his 389 ERA compared with a 2.73 xFIP. That's a difference of almost 1.25 runs. His xERA is even lower at 2.49. And he's another dude who's been getting hurt by poor defense. The Twins are the fifth worst in all of baseball in defensive runs saved with roughly average range. And that leads to a well below average strand rate of just 67.4%. He is a four-pitch pitcher, though. Three of his four pitches have a 30% whiff rate or better, and all of his pitches have a 20-plus put-away rate. And he's striking out a career-high 31.6% of batters. His K rate minus walk rate is an out-of-this-world 27%, fifth in all of baseball. And to give you an idea, average for that metric is 13.7%. His hard hit, it's a touch high, not going to lie, but it's not anything that I'm concerned about. And his barrel rate and exit velocity are both below average. He's got a better than average chase rate and a 14.2% swinging strike rate, which is well above average. Both his contact rate and zone contact rate are roughly 7 points better than league average. He's a fly ball pitcher. He's got a 13% home run to fly ball rate. It makes sense, and it's in line with his career norms. But his 1.23 home runs per nine is as high as since his rookie season. However, he's being helped out by a career low 14.7% line drive rate. Run support there is not an issue. You know, we've seen just how hot Minnesota can be here over the past few weeks, scoring runs left and right. I would like to see him be a little bit more efficient, though. He's thrown just 63% strikes, and I think he can do quite a bit better than that.
Yeah, for sure. He always seemed like a guy that was, you know, on the cusp of being, you know, transitioning from good to dominating, and that he got traded from the Marlins to the Twins, and that's exactly where it really began. They worked on that sweeper that he started with last year, and it's really a devastating put-away pitch for him. Generates a 37% whiff rate. The pitch has really elevated his game even more. Before, he just relied on, you know, two or three pitches that really just explored three parts of the plate. So, you know, basically we'll just say north, south, and the east, and so to speak. And he just never had that pitch that he could take advantage and expose the west side of the plate until that sweeper. You just have more options to put away hitters in put away counts. And he's really, like Matt said, he really likes him a lot. He's one of the smartest pitchers in the league. Brilliant guy. Like him a lot. Okay, another one. Let's see. We're just going to stick in the AL Central so far. Next up, we have Cole Reagans of the Royals, 97% owned on Yahoo. His ERA is 4.22, expected 3.15. So you just have just over a run differential there. That's the 10th highest differential among qualified pitchers. 9 games started so far. He's 2-3 in 49 innings pitched and has that 1.29 whip. Last start, he actually was against the Angels. I thought it was going to be a good one for him. On Saturday, he got lit up in 6 1/3, gave up 8 hits, 7 earned, 1 walk, just 3 Ks. Definitely, that performance definitely marks a, you know, significant deviation from his otherwise, because he's been solid really all season. Did get rocked back on April 20th versus Baltimore. Also given up 7 earned runs, but hey, you know, that's Baltimore. It's a good team. And you know, stuff happens, right? But his other 7 starts allowed just 2 earned runs or less in 6 out of 7. So there's a lot of consistency there that he offers. Strikeout rate's good, top 23% in the league. Walk rate, also below average, or above average, I should say. Top 40% in the league. And the BABIP's 333. It's a little bit high. It's above average. Could see that come down a little bit as he was closer to 275 last year. Not allowing much hard contact. Exavilo barrels hard hit, all in the top third best of pitchers in the league. And weak percentage is real low too, at 2.8% better than league average. And has set some amazing swing and miss to his game as well. Whiff rate, 31%, top 13% best in the league. And that chase rate is at the top third of all pitchers as well. Contact in the zone, 75%, almost 8% better than what other pitchers in the league are doing, MLB average. And then contact when chasing out of the zone, also great, full 5% better than league average. Guy's got some gas, fastball, velo of 96. Occasionally you'll see him touch triple digits. And I really think that's, you know, that's fast. That's blazing speeds for especially a left-hander. You know, you definitely see the righties are definitely the more flamethrowers, but the ability for him to rack up strikeouts at this elite rate offers obviously significant value, right? Especially if he can maintain or improve upon his projected ERA and whip. And something he has in common with Crochet, could be an innings issue there as well. Previous maximum of just 96 in a season. Typically, teams like to go 30 to 50 more than the previous year, so keep an eye on that. 130 to 140 seems very reasonable, you know, kind of striking a balance between, you know, protecting his arm and maximizing his impact, so to speak. So if I can get him, I'm going to try. I guess the key for managers is going to be monitoring his innings and adjusting expectations for the second half of the season, but he's solid get.
Yeah, he is. In that 4.22 ERA, really is not indicative of the pitcher that he's been. You know, you talked about the xFIP. He's got a 2.65 FIP and a 3.61 xERA. He had those 2 bad starts. You talked about start the Angels. He gave up 7 earned runs to Baltimore on 4.20. Hey, yo. He's got more games with 8 or more strikeouts than he does allowing 3 or more earned runs. I mean, it's just crazy. And his strand rate is a little low, which is kind of funny because he has one of, if not the best defenses behind him. But the offense is very streaky. They've given him four or more runs of support just 3 times this season. And he has been outstanding on the road. 8 earned runs, 27 strikeouts, just 7 walks, a 198 average against, and a 526 OPS against. At home, his ERA and earned runs are double that. The average and on-base percentage allowed are 100 points higher, and he's given up a 766 OPS. And I thought that was just kind of an interesting little tidbit there about him.
Absolutely.
So we got one more dude that we're kind of chalking up as being kind of unlucky this season. Last one, Brandon Pfaadt of the Arizona Diamondbacks. He is cruising in with a 4.60 ERA and a 3.67 xFIP. Difference of just a hair under a run. His expected ERA is at 3.36 and his FIP is at 3.37. So there's definitely some improvement on the way. He's not really a big strikeout pitcher, but he can get them when he needs to. Strikes out a little over 21% of batters, 8.04 K per nine. You know, that's not terrible at all. He's certainly capable of going out there and giving you six or seven strikeouts any given start. He's pretty efficient. He throws strikes 68% of the time, including a crazy 74.4% first pitch strike rate, which is the best in baseball. I love the 4% walk rate. That's in the top 7% of the league. His strikeout minus walk rate, 17%. That's several points above average. I'm happy there. He's a dude that pitches to contact. His overall contact, zone contact, and outside the zone contact are all above average, but not at all alarming because he's better than the average cat at limiting that hard contact. His hard hit rate, his barrel rate, and exit velocity are all in the top half of the league. He's increased his ground ball rate this season by 9 points, up to 41.7%. And he cut his line drive and fly ball rates to 19.4% and 38.9%, respectively. Love seeing that. Beat that shit into the ground. He also cut his home run to fly ball rate in half from last year. It's down to just 8.9%. And he's another four-pitch pitcher. And there was a slight change in his deployment so far this season. His sinker usage is up to 19.7% at the expense of his four-seamer. And his sweeper is outstanding. It's one of the best in baseball. It's got a 42.6% chase rate, which is in the top 10% of the league, and a 22% swinging strike rate, which is in top 3% of the league. Both his sweeper and his changeup boast a 34% plus whiff rate. He's getting hurt by a very low strand rate, just 60.8%. That's 11 points below league average, which is surprising because Arizona is a pretty good defensive team. He got roughed up in back-to-back starts early in the season at Atlanta and versus St. Louis. He's allowed 3 earned runs or fewer in his remaining 6 starts, and he's a good source of innings for you. He's gone at least 5 innings in every start, at least 6 in 4 out of his last 5 starts, and 3 straight. I'm definitely a buyer on him, and I think you can get him for a pretty good deal.
Yeah, you could. You talked about a sweeper. Now, in games that he has struggled, you will notice he has had problems with the sweeper, leaving it right in the heart of the plate and putting it out there. And it really seems to be linked to, obviously, a command issue. He throws that 30% of the time compared to a league average 27% of the time. And his sweeper's been getting hit a lot harder than last year and harder than league average as well. The bulk of the damage is, like I said, when he leaves that that ball right in the heart of the attack zones. He has thrown that sweeper right in the heart of the zone there at 25.7% of the time. And that's real close to what the league average is, okay? But what's the Major League Baseball batting average against and slugging on that sweeper thrown down the plate? It's 293 batting average, slugging of 524. Now we look at Fots, batting average of 381, slugging of 810. If he could get that pitch completely figured out where he has very good command of it, he's going to be really, really good. He's young still, just 25 years of age. I think he just signed a one-year deal there in Arizona. So we'll see what he can, you know, put on show here for the other teams in the league.
Sure. And there's some bad luck anytime you've got a pitch with a batting average against approaching 400. You're not turning every batter into Ted Williams. I promise you that.
Right. Okay.
So we've talked about a bunch of unlucky dudes, and now there's some who have been pretty damn fortunate so far this season, and likely it's time to sell high on them. The first one of them, Cole Reagan's teammate, Brady Singer, of those same Kansas City Royals. Thank you, Captain Obvious. he's got a 284 ERA and a 332 xFIP, about a half a run difference. His expected ERA, though, 4.38. He did get knocked around a bit yesterday, and I think this is indicative of some of the regression where we should expect to see with him. He gave up 9 hits, 4 runs, and had a dong dropped on him over 5 innings pitched. Again, though, just like Cole Reagans, he's been helped out by the defense. I don't think, though, his 82.4% strand rate is going to hold. I think he's going to end up somewhere in the high 70s, but he's got a solid 25% strikeout rate, striking out 9.24 per 9 innings. But he's got just a paltry 22% chase rate. His whiff rate is not much better at 24.5%. He's got a 10.2% swinging strike rate, which is roughly average, but a 30.4% called plus swinging strike rate, good for 11th in baseball. We've talked about first pitch strike rate quite a bit today. His 57.2, 70th among 80 qualified pitchers. His walk rate is good, a little bit below average. It's 7.7%, coming in under just under 3 walks per 9. And he's a ground ball pitcher. His 51.1% ground ball rate is 11th in baseball. His quality of contact, though, not so good. 40.6% hard hit rate, exit velocity just a tick under 90 miles an hour, and an 8.7% barrel rate. And those are all bottom third of the league or worse. His overall contact rate, though, is pretty much average. His zone contact rate, few points higher, 89.5. He's been fortunate. He's been getting a lot of run support, 6.28 runs per game. And he's had 5 games where he's earned, or he's gotten 5 or more runs of support. This guy, though, has yet to earn a win when the Royals have scored fewer than 6 runs. His Statcast pitch tracking screams regression. His slider is legit, though. 38.5% whiff rate, a 190 batting average against. I think he's made some improvements. He's a younger dude, but he's nowhere near as good as he's looked so far. There's going to be regression on the way, and I think now is the time to sell with him. Or maybe if he can get one more good start to kind of erase that memory of the start yesterday, that'd be the time to pounce and send his ass packing.
Yeah, he kind of seems like a guy that, you know, he doesn't go deep into games. Of course, most people don't anymore, but it seems like he'll give you 4 games of 1-run ball and then, you know, every so often a 4-5 run shellacking, you know. He's a sinker and slider guy. Ground ball pitchers generally are sinker guys most often, but much of his trouble this year has really come from the sinker. He puts him in the zone, but he's leaving them over the plate a little too in the wrong spot and a little too high. Coming into last night's start, he only allowed 13 hits on his sinker across 8 starts. Yesterday, he gave up 6 before the 5th inning off a sinker and only got 1 whiff on it all night. And he's really inconsistent between home and away starts. Much better at home. Walk rate's better. K rate's about the same. But the batting average and whip just plummet. So definitely somebody I'd be looking to get rid of, get what you can for him. He is, what, 83% owned. So some people will be attracted to him or be in the need for somebody like him. So don't be afraid. Throw him on the trade block. See what you can fish for.
Absolutely. We got Loud Boy asking questions. Why is no one in our league taking Lourdes Gurriel? I imagine it's a couple things. Number one, I think you've rostered just about everybody that is available there on the waiver wire, so they may not have had a chance. But he's also been pretty damn bad so far here in May. Just a 175 average, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts, not hitting for any power. He started off really damn hot. I think he was the player of the month for April or player of the week there in the first week, some shit like that. But he's definitely come back to earth.
He has. Good question, Loud Boy. Okay, another stinker here. We're headed to Cincinnati talking about Andrew Abbott with the Reds. 43% owned on Yahoo. He's started 8 games so far. He's 2-4 and 43 innings pitched with a 1.19 whip. That ERA is 3.35. XFIP is 4.53. So you got, you know, almost 1.25 run differential there. not, you know, on the good side either. So, you know, what's that mean? The things he can control, right? We've talked about it. Strokes, strikeouts, walks, home runs. And he's just not too good at them. You know, let's go through them. Strikeout rate's below average at 28. The walk rate is good at 6.7, but last year he was way below average, approaching 10%. And uh-oh, would you look at that? Guess who's got a problem with the long ball? He's allowed 8 so far, 1.67 home runs per 9 innings. He's tied for third most among qualified pitchers in Major League Baseball. And, of course, you guessed it as well. Fly ball rate is atrocious, a full 14% worse than league average. So that means his ground ball rate must be bad too, right? Sure fucking is. It's too low at 32%. He's in the bottom 10% in the league, 12.5% difference between the league average. That's just really just too big of a difference for me, or for matter, for any fantasy manager really to ignore. And you'll see the theme as we talk to these guys that we think are just kind of getting lucky and they're not so great. That strand rate, that left on base percentage, however you want to use it, 85.8, that is not sustainable whatsoever. With the league average at 72, come on. When you're a pitcher and you strand runners at a higher rate than expected, you are going to come back to earth. You will see his ERA start moving up as his left on base percentage starts to normalize over the season. Let's take a look at his batting average on balls in play, aka BABIP. Better than average at 258. League average is right around 294. Getting lucky. A lot of balls hit right at the defense as well. So that said, you know, skill can play a role in BABIP as well. And some pitchers are adept at generating weak contact. I will say so far he is good at not allowing hard contact so far. Velo's above average at 88.2, but last year he sucked. All right, he finished bottom 5% of the league, and his hard hit rate is in the top 16% this season. And last year it was awful at 42.5. And looking at some more underlying metrics, he offers no swing and miss. Right, it's chase and whiff, both bottom of the league. And remember those 8 home runs we just talked about? You know, we have spoke at length about the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati and how it is very, very much a pitcher's park, right? From 22 season through now, ranks 4th in runs and on base percentage and number 1 in home runs. Guess what, folks? Only 3 of his 8 starts have come at home so far. So sell him for what you can get. Try selling him now. And good luck.
Yeah, he was a waiver wire ad for me last season, and I was really happy with what he gave, and he started to lose some steam as the season went on. And I was expecting improvement coming into this year. But it that has not been the case. The drop in strikeout rate is concerning. I do like the drop in walk rate. You're absolutely spot on though when it comes to a strand rate. That's not gonna hold. The BABIP is gonna rise. And look, that ballpark and a 53.2% fly ball rate don't mix, do they, Mr. Leahy?
No, they don't, Randy.
he does do a good job of limiting the hard contact, but his overall contact rate is high. The swing and miss is concerning, again, with the ballpark and as we get to warmer weather. And he's a little on the inefficient side, right? Just 64%. Of his pitches go for strikes. And you look over his last 3 starts, he's got a 4.70 ERA. He's given up 19 hits, 8 earned runs, 5 home runs, and just 15 1/3 innings pitched. Send his ass on his way. Get what you can for him. Send his ass packing.
Yeah.
And so now it's time to pick on Loud Boy's team, like we do pretty much every week here, seemingly, as we put these lists of players together to talk about. And this time it is Jose Berrios's turn. So he's got a sparkling 282 ERA, a 426 XFIP. That's good for about a run and a half of difference there. His expected ERA even higher at 4.59. This dude has allowed home runs in 4 straight starts, 2 home runs in each of his last 2 starts on the year. 8 home runs allowed, 5th most in baseball. His 13.8% home run to fly ball rate is his highest since his rookie year. And the strikeouts, like, where did they go? He was never a huge strikeout guy, but he would give you some, and now you're getting less than some. 6.96 strikeouts per 9, a 19.5% strikeout rate, worst since his rookie season. His 19.8% whiff rate, bottom 16% of Major League Baseball, the worst of his career, down 6 points from last year. His chase rate, a hair above average. Credit where it's due, but it's still down from last season and on a downward trend for the last half decade. His swinging strike rate, 2.5 points below league average and 2 points off his career mark at just 8.2%. Walk rate, still below average, 7.4%, 2.65 walks per 9, though, is his worst mark in a full season since 2018, and both are trending up the last several years. His strikeout minus walk rate, a below average 12.1%. Now, Toronto, very good defensive team. They made some modifications to the park, and it plays much more like a pitcher's park. I don't give two shits, though, because his 88.6% strand rate, which is 6th, in MLB, is coming down. His hard contact data is rough. He's got a 45.7% hard hit rate, which puts him in the bottom 15% of the league, an exit velocity approaching 91 miles an hour, good for bottom 10%, and an 8.6% barrel rate, which puts him in the bottom third. He's given up 69 balls this year that have been hit 95 miles an hour or more, 6th most in baseball. And despite all of that, he's got a 229 BABIP.
Yeah.
Which is just nuts. He's got a career best 6.8 hits per 9 innings. That's we're going to see regression there. He's allowing contact at a career high 81.5% rate. The same for his in zone contact at 89.8%. So we've talked to all this. We've told you what his numbers look like. This dude's had one rough start versus Philly where he gave up 8 earned runs in 3 2/3, and he's given up 2 or fewer earned runs in every other start. You tell me how likely you think that is to continue, because I'm going to say that shit ain't likely.
No, it's not. You mentioned the strand rate, the 88.6. Matt didn't mention this, but to put it in perspective, consider that there has only been 19 ERA qualified pitchers in history that have finished any season greater than 85%. It's not going to happen for him. Absolutely not. It's going to crater. Try and give what you can for him. He's 93% owned. Somebody will want him. You know, if you can't, you can't. But if you can try and improve your team, he's somebody I would look to jettison. What do we got? Some chat stuff, some chat.
Yeah.
Oh, Kelsey was talking about the 69. That's a lot of balls. Matt and Kyle. Yep, sure is. And you said his balls are ticking, pounding. All right. All right. Good stuff. Glad to have you here, Kelsey. Glad everyone's here. Who we got next? Me. All right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Why is that not going away? Why is that banner still there? Weird. All right. Tyler Anderson, we're talking about with the Angels, 34% owned on Yahoo. ERA is at 292, XFIP at 4.84, difference of almost 2 runs. It's the 6th worst differential among the qualified pitchers we looked at for this, a total of 77 of them. He started 8 games. He's 3-4, 49.1 innings pitched, whips at 114. Saturday versus the Royals, delivered a solid performance, got the win, 3 earned runs allowed, 7 hits, 1 walk, struck out 4. That's the 6th straight start allowing earned runs after allowing none in his first 2 starts of the season. His strikeout rate is kind of bad. It's at 17.9%, very below average. Walk rate is also below average. He's in the bottom third of pitchers in the league. So I said there's going to be a theme with these. Left on base percentage is too high, 82.3. You know, just what we talked about, Mr. Abbott, a moment ago. Same thing applies here, right? Below average ground ball rate of 35.2%, bottom 17% in the league. And just like Andrew Abbott, his fly rate, corresponds just as horribly, 35.2%. It's almost 12% worse than the MLB norm right now. You know, not a dude that who throws anything resembling gas, right? Very low fastball, VLO, he's at just 89.1%, bottom 2% in the league. Does have some good swing and miss to his game. Chase and whiff rates are above average, but mostly with just one pitch. His strikeout pitch, pretty much his changeup, is very good. Plate discipline wise, allows too much contact, both in the zone and out of the zone. And look, I'll make this quick, right? With his FIP indicating this potential regression, whether it's benefiting from good fortune or strong defensive support, I think you find a way to get what you can for him. Due to his low roster percentage, this is probably a guy you'd throw in as a piece of a bigger trade and just try to unload him.
Yeah, and if somebody tries to add him to a trade for you to receive, go ahead and just hit that reject button.
Right.
Everything I see with this dude, like, just screams good luck, good fortune, overperformance, whatever phrase or words you want to throw in there, his strand rate, his BABIP, his strikeout minus walk rate. And you look across his last three starts, 18 hits, 10 earned, 6 walks, 15 strikeouts, a 4.74 ERA, and 19 innings pitched. The dude will give you innings.
Yeah.
He will give you innings. He works deeper into games. 6 of his 8 starts are at least 6 innings pitched. And it's funny because there's some swing and miss there. He can get guys to chase, but he doesn't convert that into strikeouts. And I think ultimately that's going to be his downfall as the season goes on. He's got shitty fastball velo, but he's helped massively by an 11-mile-an-hour delta between his fastball and changeup. And his changeup, look, that's a quality pitch, 39.3% whiff rate, 29.6% put-away rate. But no, he's good as a spot start and nothing more.
Heck yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kelsey says, vape spotted. Absolutely.
Yep, sure did. Kyle. This one's just a nicotine.
There you go. Get your fix during.
Right.
All right. And this last guy we're going to talk about is quite possibly the luckiest, most fortunate pitcher in baseball, at least according to our methodology. And that's Javier Assad of the Chicago Cubs. Right now, he has an outstanding 1.70 ERA. His xFIP, 4.22. That's over a 2.5 run difference. I would tell you to go put him on the trade block right now, but quite frankly, we need the watch time. So open up another tab and put his ass on the block. He has a complete lack of swing and miss. His 17.7% whiff rate is in the bottom 6% of the league. His 26.2% chase rate is in the bottom third of the league. He strikes out just under 7.5 per nine, 20.5% of batters. Those are both well below league average. And he's been pretty inefficient lately, throwing just 61% strikes over his past couple of starts. And for the season, he's only at 63%. Swinging strike rate, minuscule, tiny, 6.5%, second worst in baseball. But a little bit better than average with his walks. 2.98 per nine, 8.7%. He's right around average when it comes to hard contact, just depending on the metric. His hard hit rate's actually in the top 25%. Exit velocity is a little bit better than average, and his barrel rate is a little bit worse. He's only allowed 2 home runs this year, right? And that doesn't really align with what we've seen from him.
It does not.
His 4% home run to fly ball rate is a third of what it was last year. Now, the dude somehow, miraculously, has yet to allow more than 2 earned runs in any start, but he's only worked more than 5 innings twice. And in the Cubs, like, they're not a good defensive team. Yet he's got an 85.6% strand rate.
There's that theme again.
Yep. He's getting a good amount of run support at just under 5.5 per game. And I think that will continue to be the case because the Cubs have a damn good offense there. Mother Nature is undefeated. the shit is going to warm up in Chicago and Wrigley Field is going to start playing like Great American Ballpark. And you're going to see his numbers start to go up and up and up. He's not a bad pitcher, but he is nowhere near this good.
Yes. Yes. Kelsey had a thing. Chaos subject. I'm a movie girl. Kyle, you remind me of Seth Rogen. Matt, you remind me of the guy who plays Bosch. I have to look him up. I think that's Titus Welliver. He actually played a character in, wasn't it, Sons of Anarchy?
Yes.
Yeah, he sure was great did. In that, too, if you haven't seen that show.
That is not the first time I've been told that, either.
Yeah. Heck yeah. What's up,
thanks, Titus? Kelsey.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Javier Assad, you mentioned the only allowed the two home runs. Fly ball rate this year is 6% higher than his than average, and launch angle is also 2.7 degrees higher than league average. Well, I'm very surprised he's only allowed the two home runs. I bet we could look at some of these and see some warning track shots that, as summer comes, are going to be dingers. He's got that dual eligibility. Last year, he bounced back and forth from starting pitcher to the bullpen. My concern with him and why I would try to move him is Kyle Hendricks is going to be coming back from the IL. So who gets booted from the rotation? Does Jordan Wicks get sent down to get some things cleaned up? He needs some help. Or is Hendricks the odd man out? I think it will be Assad. He's just more comfortable in making that transition than any of the other starters. I just don't think he'll be starting all year.
No, and you got to think too about between Jackson Jobe and Cade Horton. Those are probably two of the best pitchers still left down in the minors, and I got to expect we're going to see Cade Horton sooner rather than later pitching for that Cubs team. And a lot is going to depend on just when this, I don't want to say big regression, but just this anticipated regression occurs.
Yeah, it's gonna. Okay, that wraps up that part. All right, you guys need your due, right? Listener League, we had some interesting things happen last year or last week. I'm still at the top, 4-2. Tied was Supersonic Loud Boy Enterprises. He started 0-2 this year. He's since won 4 straight. Seance and Uncle Ted there in 3rd and 4th. They've each won 3 out of the last 4 weeks. I've lost 2 in a row. I think, Matt, you've split the last couple weeks. Brandon there in 10th, I think, is like 4 in a row or 3 out of his last 4 he's lost. So it's still close. Still a lot of bunching there at 2-4, 3-3. Anything could happen. Congrats. Yep. Congrats, Loud Boy. Congrats, Dubo as well.
Yep. I'll give Loud Boy a shout out. You know, he beat me, and I gotta say, it's an interesting feeling, almost like when a dad loses to his son at basketball for the first time, because, you know, a lot of you out there don't know this, but you know, I'm kind of like Loud Boy's older brother, but I'm younger.
All right. I left that up there way too long.
Yeah, you did.
Okay. All right, cool. Thanks for joining us. We'll give you this, you know, we'll try and give a deep dive on some of these guys, give you all the information you need, why we think some guys are you know, just bad or lucky or good or unlucky, however you want to say it. But thanks for joining us today. If you don't want to look at our ugly mugs, you can always listen to us on Spotify. Where I gently nudge you into liking and subscribing to our channel if you like our content. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day, everyone. Stay stoned.
See ya.